On holy ground when we come to the Word of God, where God comes to us to speak to us, to lead us, to direct us, to guide us in our lives. And He does that by the stories that we read in the Scriptures in the lives of people in centuries gone by. And in those encounters that people had with that God, we learn our encounters and find the lessons that God seeks to teach us and share with us. We come before God as we approach the Old Testament lesson for the morning. Let us pray together. Speak to us, Father. Open our hearts and our minds and our lives, that your word may find a place to take root. Let us see the wisdom that you share with us, and let us rejoice in the knowledge that you give to us. For we come in the name of the living word, even Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is Psalm 138. Listen to David as he praises God, as he looks back upon his life and sees where God has blessed him, and out of all of those blessings, sees how he is going to respond to what God has given to him. Here begins the reading of God's holy and inspired word from Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is high, he looks down upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. So David finds a way to praise God as he sees the goodness of God in all of his life and responds with that particular psalm. Now we go to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, beginning our reading with the first verse, reading from the things that Jesus teaches his disciples on prayer. One day Jesus was praying, and he finished in a certain place. When he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So far the reading of God's holy word from Psalm 138 and the Gospel of Luke. To him be the praise and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we gather together to learn from you in the moments that we share. Grant that my words and the meditations of these your people may be acceptable in your sight, and what we find and encounter in these moments may speak to us as a part of our lives and a part of our faith, for we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. The disciples come to Jesus and they ask him many things. When he talks to them in parables, he sees how they can't understand what he's saying. So oftentimes they come to him and they say, you were talking about seeds on the ground. Tell us what that means. And they would sit down and Jesus would explain to them the various things that were there in the parables. And I sat and reflected upon that and I said to myself, I'm sure that if I would have walked with Jesus Christ, I would have had a lot of questions. Different settings in which we see the working of the Messiah as he touches the lives of so many people, from blind people to crippled people to dead people. And you have to understand somehow what God is doing in the person of Jesus Christ. This request that comes from this disciple is hard for me to understand. They were devout Jews. They knew how to pray. They had been taught to pray since they were little kids in the synagogues and they make their bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. But now they hear this man, Jesus, who was coming to come and to ask them to be a part of his mission and ministry, and they hear him pray. And he prays in a different way than they have ever heard, a different thing that they saw in the disciples of John. And so they come to Jesus and say, teach us to pray like the disciples of John. Just to talk to God as Jesus gives them a format for prayer. Not a prayer that talks to anything other than a model. What we see in this particular prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. But it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's my prayer. It's your prayer. It is ours to show us a new way to communicate with God. And Jesus tells them a story and gives them a reason in a structure that they now could understand and approach their Heavenly Father in a unique and different way than they had ever done in their life before. It's a change in their life to go from the rote prayers that they had learned, like Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray it, we don't even know what we're saying. And we just go through the words and forget the meanings of what we're doing. We do it when we're kids. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. We don't know what we're saying. It's a lousy prayer to teach kids. If I die before I wake up, please God, take me to heaven. I don't want to go to sleep thinking I'm going to die before I wake up. But you've got to get past the rote prayers of our lives. Those things that we somehow fall into a line where we somehow go over and over again. And it changes as we progress and get older, hopefully, in our lives. But I know people who say, I can't pray because they can't get out of the rote idea of prayer. The advice that Jesus gives to the disciples is something that you and I need to learn in our lives, in our prayers. Let's look at that. Ask, and you shall receive. For if you ask, you will receive. It's called communication. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know you wanted steak for supper. We're having cold cuts for supper tonight. If you would have told me, I would have got steak. But I did not hear you say that. I don't recall you telling me that we wanted steak instead of cold cuts. It's communication. It moves the disciples out of the rote prayers that they had learned in Judaism into the realm of Christian prayer, which teaches us you can talk with God wherever you are about anything you want to talk to God about. And I tell my communicants classes over and over years through the years, I don't care how little it may seem to you, if you need to talk to God about it, it's not something that you did should be not important. No. Whatever you want to ask from God, if it's a part of your life, you can walk to him and talk to him, and you need to talk to him. Jesus is showing them a type of prayer that is taking them into the presence of the Creator of the universe, as if they are standing right in front of God. How oftentimes do you feel that when you pray? When you go to your Heavenly Father, do you feel that you're standing in his presence? When you come into his presence and say, Lord God, do you realize that you're standing right in front of God? God wants us to know that we can come into his presence, that we are open to him and he is open to us. He wants us to know our needs before we come in our prayers, before we bring our requests or needs before him. That's why I must find the things in my life that I need intervention with God to convince myself first. And then to go to my God and share that with him. If we do not ask anything from God, we will get nothing from God. Not asking is building on no response as a part of our faith. And too often, we get to the point where we don't go to God. We don't pray often enough. We don't pray hard enough. We don't pray realistically enough. If we do not ask, there will be no response. Even the Son of God goes to his Heavenly Father to ask the guidance of the Father in heaven in the things that he is doing upon this earth. Look at him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, I'm coming here to ask you something, and I'm coming to ask for strength. He comes to ask for the strength over and over again before the tasks unfold in his life. He knows what's going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem, and he prays before he ever goes to Jerusalem, because he's asking God to give him the strength to find and to go through the things that he's going to now encounter in his life. The old song that says, take it to the Lord in prayer. That's true. You can take anything to the Lord in prayer. And doing that shows our role in the encounter that we take it to God, not waiting for God to bring to us. We go to God first, and then God comes to us. Ask, and you shall receive. If you don't ask, you won't receive. But ask, and you will receive. For if you ask, reception is the outcome of that encounter. Secondly, seek, and you will find. For those who seek, find. You will never know the will of God unless you seek it in prayer. Remember Jesus in the garden. He goes to God and says, is there any other way that I can somehow bring salvation to the world? Not my will, but your will be done. 3 times he prays to God, asking somehow what God's will is going to be. And the same answer comes back all 3 times. You must drink the cup. You must die for the sins of the world. It is verbalized in our petitions as we go to God saying, these are the things that I need, Lord. This is what's bothering me. This is what I'm seeing in my life right now. This is what I'm happy for. This is what I'm rejoicing about. And we go and we take those things into the presence of God as we verbalize our petitions. Not the same way that they're verbalized in what we call the Lord's Prayer, but in our words, in our needs, in our desires, in our failures, in all the things that we bring before our God. God already knows my needs, yes. But the needs of my life must be in tune with what God wants me to find in my faith and in my life. I need to realize that God cares for me because I seek him, and he gives that which I know will be a part of the encounters that unfold in my life. Too often we only pray when we need God. Oh God, help me. And that's the prayer that we pray sometimes in our lives rather than seeking his guidance. Knowing what's coming down the pike and saying to ourselves, I don't need God for that. But then when we get down the pike, we find ourselves in a place where we can't get out of the situation. And then we go to God and say, please, God, help me. Watch what David does throughout the Psalms. He goes to God in the things that he sees and experiences before they are a reality. Keep me close to you, O God. I lay awake in the night and I pray to you. Let me find peace. He seeks God's presence in the things that are there in the needs before they are on a crisis level. And Jesus does the same thing. He talks to God over and over again, long before the need must come to be met. And by so doing, and so he and we are prepared for what will come. One of the most difficult things a part of your prayer is this particular thing. To go to God and say, I don't know what's coming, but I accept your will. Help me get through it. Give me the strength. Give me the guidance. Give me the direction. Give me the peace. I've done this many times in my prayers. And I don't pray for people to be healed somehow in the hospital. I only pray for God's will for that person. And I pray for God to give that person the strength to find and accept the will that will unfold in their lives. I don't take away the pain. I don't take away the things that they're fearing. I allow them to find something that is then preparing them for what is yet coming. It happens in our lives in many of our prayers. As I'm prepared to experience what I know is coming, but then I know something. I know that I do not face it by myself because I have already shared it with my God. And when it comes time for me to go through what I'm going to go through, I don't do it alone. I've already asked him. He's already there. He's waiting for me to go through the experience, and he's there to bless me in the encounter of that experience. We need to realize what we find in the things that we ask for, and in that, prepare ourselves for the reality of life. Lastly, knock and the door will be open to anyone who knocks. Prayer is our relationship with God. Prayer shows us that he invites us to come in, to commune with him. It is an open door which is never closed once we have knocked and come in. If we become a part of that encounter by talking with our God and praying to our God, we realize something. Anytime we want and need, the door is always open. In our acts of faith, in the things that we're seeking, and we are invited into a place that they had reserved only for the priests. Now Jesus says, no, God is something giving you something different than that. And now you knock on the door of God's place called heaven. And if you ask, the God of heaven will open the door, and you may come in and stand in the Holy of Holies. I don't need a priest. I don't need a minister. All I need is the ability to reach up and knock on the door, and the door is open. And Christ shows them over and over again that if they knock and if they ask, the Holy of Holies opens to them and they are standing directly in contact with God. We get so accustomed to our prayers sometimes that we lose sight of that fact. And every once in a while there'll be something that comes into my life to jolt me a little bit. And then I realize what I'm saying and where I'm at and what I'm doing with my prayers. I'm going through my prayers and they're just prayers. But then I suddenly realize what I'm doing is standing in the presence of Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth. The God of the stars, the God of the sun, the God of the moon, the God of all time and all eternity. And I have been invited to stand in his presence because I have knocked upon his door. Jesus says that if we knock, the door is always open. But then Jesus turns that around in one of his teachings and says, when I knock upon the door of your heart, you need to open the heart. You need to open up and let me come in. And if you let me come in, I will not only commune with you, I will abide with you. I'll stay with you. I'll be a part of you. We'll find the relationship that is beautiful and permanent and wonderful to experience. It's Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He could go to their house anytime he wanted to, and they would always find a welcome there. And he says the same thing to you and me. If I knock upon the door of your heart and you open your heart and open up the door, I will come in and I will abide with you. He shows us that we're always welcome in the presence of God through the promise of his Son, that none of us are strangers, and that we are always welcome in the presence of God. So Jesus shows you and me and the disciples that we can have a gift from God if we want to learn to use it. You and I can talk to God and share the needs, the joys, and the sorrows of our lives. Our Father in heaven invites us to come in just as we are, and we will always find a welcome. He promises to hear us, no matter what we may bring. And the promise also says that he will never cast us out. If you can talk, you can pray. Sometimes when you can't talk, you can still pray. You can pray if you can see and feel your need, experience your joy. And you can always go to God as a God who waits to hear from you as he sees anything and everything we want to share with him. Jesus says it is as easy as they have seen him talking to his heavenly Father. The Father that he talks to is the same Father you have. He is your Father too. All you need to do is call upon him. Our Father, who art in heaven. And then you fill in the blanks. You tell him what you want. You show him what you're grateful for. You talk to him. You commune with him. And once you have his attention, he will never desert you. The door is always open. And I stand before you today and tell you that I believe that this is firmly true because I have seen it in my own life. I have seen prayers answered. I have known things that have happened in the lives of other people because other people were praying. I realize the power of prayer, and I sometimes think we don't take it honestly, openly, like it should be taken. It is one of the greatest gifts that you and I have. I and you can talk to God, and God will hear us. And in his hearing and our conversations, he will bless us. Amen. Let us pray.